Yeah, hey, this is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into the Cannabis Corner right here on 101.9. And this is a new Cannabis Corner. It's early November 2018, and I'm glad to be back on the air doing the Cannabis Corner show again. I did not expect that I was going to be off as long as I have been as far as recording new episodes. I did, I think, 10 previous, and they have been playing those on Radio Tacoma over the past 8 or 9 months. So thank you for your patience and thank you for listening. I really appreciate folks out there listening. I've been approached by a couple people out and around Tacoma, one of them a friend, and said, hey, I heard your show, great job. A disability activist I know around town, so shout going out to Mike, and thanks for tuning in. And then I was out and about in somewhere talking to somebody, and a person came up and they had heard my voice, and he said, hey, you're the guy on the Radio Tacoma doing the Cannabis Corner show. So I thought that was really neat, and I really appreciate people out there listening, and I just feel really good about getting this information out there about the topic of cannabis, because all as we know, cannabis in our culture and our society is taboo, and that's something that we don't really talk about, and it's still sort of the butt of a lot of jokes. And that's because it's been illegal for 100 years, and it's had a really hard time bubbling up through our culture. It's had a lot of negative influences. The government got involved in 1937, the federal government, with the Marijuana Tax Act, and after that, the Controlled Substances Act, and has just been attacking this plant for over 100 years, and now it is starting to come out of the shadows, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to actually be out and around Tacoma and out there on the internet here and there talking to people about this in the open. It is no longer in the shadows. We can talk about cannabis out in the open with our friends at parties, and we're not looked down upon, because before it was illegal. And frankly, a lot of times when you were talking about cannabis, at least in my experience, I grew up in the southeastern part of the United States, you didn't want to talk about cannabis because you didn't really know who was around and it's illegal, and you could actually get you putting yourself in jeopardy telling people that you consume this plant, because you could go to jail for that. And there is still some of that today, and cannabis, as we know, is still illegal all around the United States, and there still are people being arrested for cannabis in Washington State too. So this is a big issue, and it is an ongoing topic, and is evolving constantly in our communities. And I'm here, my name is Lucas Barfield, and I'm here doing the journey with you and learning about cannabis myself. I seem to learn something new every day. So thanks again for tuning in. We have a great series of shows coming up for you. I'm going to be trying to be putting these out about once a week like I was before, or whenever I can get on the microphone and record these. And I have lined up some guests, and I have lined up a couple people, activists, and some people from business, cannabis businesses, that are going to come in and talk to us, so we can start kind of getting an inside look about what goes on at a cannabis farm or down in Olympia when it comes to cannabis. So let's get right into it. We're going to get into our topics of the week. And our first one, it comes out of Florida and the rest of the United States. And this is an article I wrote in Cannabis FN. And it's about how patients are already switching to medical cannabis in states where it just kind of came online. So the first example is in Florida. And this was a news story that came out a couple weeks ago. And it's talking about how Kim Rivers, CEO of Trulieve, one of Florida's largest medical cannabis producers down there, is saying that there are people coming in droves. They're tossing out their prescription opiates, and they're coming in and they're getting medical cannabis, and they're really seeing it with their numbers of how many people are getting registered. They have it works a little different in Florida, but you register with the state, and then you register with your particular producer or dispensary you're going to be getting your cannabis from. And apparently this Trulieve place down in Palm Beach has 80,000 people registered for medical cannabis. There aren't 80,000 people registered in the state of Washington. I mean, it's a quarter of that I'm estimating there's probably like 20,000 people registered to the state of Washington, if that. Now, that's certainly not saying there's 20,000, only 20,000 people that use medical cannabis. That's only 20,000 people that trust the government of Washington to get registered. So down in Florida, a lot more people are trusting getting registered, and they are switching over from their opiates, and that is a really good thing. Florida, in particular, had a really big problem with this. There's been a lot of stories that have came out about there was one where in West Virginia, they were putting people on planes, flying them down to Florida, and people would come in and buy, they call them pill mills, and they would come in and get prescriptions, and they'd roll out of there like bottles and bottles of prescription. And I actually know firsthand of people doing this. When I lived in the South, I did hear of this happening. So this is great news, and this is one of the reasons why the pharmaceutical industry is pushing back against this, because of information like this. And under this same topic, NPR reported on this a while back. They some researchers did a study where they went out and looked at Medicare data, and they said they could actually look at the data and see how much the opiate prescriptions did drop. And they found a 14% reduction in opiate prescriptions in states with easy access to medical cannabis. That adds up to, let me check here, that adds up to 3.7 million less opiate doses a day. So that's a pretty big chunk of money out of the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry. And you can see why. There's two things always going on with cannabis. Well, it's going on right now. Well, they tried to squash it for 100 years, and they weren't able to do that. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to come in and take it over. So just today, the FDA approved a cannabis epilepsy drug called, well, actually, I'm not even going to promote it here. It's a cannabis epilepsy drug that you can get, so talk to your doctor about it. If you have epilepsy, you want to look into this. But it's the first cannabis drug approved by the FDA, and it's approved through a big pharmaceutical company. Now, the FDA usually won't touch cannabis products. Now, this is a high CBD product, so they're a little more open to it. But you can see that in Monsanto is actually creeping into the cannabis industry. So there's a slow creep into cannabis by the pharmaceutical industry, and has many cannabis activists sort of worried that what they're going to come in and do is kind of take it over, and you know, they're going to get rid of the home grows, and they're going to get rid of, eventually, that it will kind of become again illegal to actually possess the flower. Now, you can get your hands on like some cannabis medication, but if you have like a flower or your own homemade extract or something like that, that could become illegal. So that's just some of the fears out there as far as the pharmacies taking over cannabis. And you can tell by statistics, 3.7 million less opiate doses a day, how they might want to get in on the market. But this is actually overall good news, because as we know, cannabis has never caused an overdose just by itself, unlike opiates. So there really is an epidemic out there. So the more people that we can get switching over from opiates and other harder drugs and medications to cannabis, the better off we'll be, because you know, we want healthy people. We don't want sick people on pharmaceuticals and sick all the time. So great news there, patients switching over to cannabis from opiates. Now, the next story, we're going to do a couple stories based here in Washington, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Washington State Liquor Control Board, about a month ago, they just came out with really no, they didn't even have any kind of hearings or anything. They just came out and just were like, bam, we're going to discontinue Washington State gummies. So this is talking about the edibles. They're going to be getting rid of the gummies, cookies, or any kind of kid-friendly, any kind of taffy or chewables or candy, anything that they can say is kid-friendly, that is going away in the cannabis market. And it's really shocking, because it's shocking for me, because what they did, they said, okay, you can do this. And you have all these people. So you have, if you go into these cannabis shops, you have a lot of businesses that's their only thing. They make gummies. And they went into this business expecting that they could make gummies and, you know, have their business, invested tons of money, invested tons of time, and now the government, Washington State, the LCB, with no hearings or anything, they're just coming in and saying, boom, this is done. And there's a lot of people up in arms about it. And the Washington State Cannabis Alliance, the Washington State Cannabis Association, and the retail, there was a retail trade group, they all got involved and issued a statement saying, no way, we are against this and you need to turn this back. They were really pointing out how Washington's been a leader in compliance when it comes to cannabis, and how all the studies show that cannabis is not being funneled to kids, and that it is true. There's a lot of studies, and we've covered that on this show, that cannabis is not being funneled to kids through these cannabis systems. And so the industry is, of course, against it. I'm against it. The gummies are good for medical cannabis patients. The different gummies and candies are really handy if you're a medical cannabis patient. You can't smoke or vape cannabis at certain places. You can take a pocket and put some candies in your pocket. And if you need cannabis for medicine, it's very handy and very efficient way to take or to get your medicine. But the state of Washington is saying no more. So they're going to let these guys go until April, I think it's mid-April. They're going to say no more. They're going to have to all be off the shelves. Now, whether this goes through or not, I don't know. I expect there possibly could be some kind of lawsuit or something coming down the line, and them saying, no way, we want to stop this. But their main concern is there has been an uptick of kids getting their hands on these things, and they're gummy, so they're like, when I say kids, I mean small children. So there hasn't been an uptick of, like, teenagers and people using cannabis, but there has been a steady flow of people, like little kids, little children getting poisoned with these gummies and stuff. And I really feel that that could be simply an education campaign to really educate people a little better on what to do with this stuff. And just as an aside, if you are a parent and you're using cannabis, you want it, and you have small children or even teenagers, you want to keep it hidden away. You don't want to just put it on the shelf in the refrigerator. You don't want to put it in the drawer in your living room. You don't want to just leave it sitting on the table. You don't, and this is a pipes or anything else. You want to keep that stuff put away. And especially if you have little children, you want to keep your cannabis stuff, your gummies, your cookies, everything, and put it way high. And pets, too. You got to think about your pets. They'll eat these things, too. You want to keep them way high, put up on the shelf. If you keep stuff in the refrigerator, put it in a marked container, put it in the back of the refrigerator, and you educate your kids. You say, hey, kid, this is mom's. This is dad's. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. It's bad. It can hurt you. So tell your kids. Educate them on what you have. You don't have to explain it's cannabis or your medicine or you're using it to go have fun out on a Saturday night. You don't really have to explain it to them. Just tell them and educate your children about cannabis and say, keep away. You don't want to mess with this. This is mom and dad's. But the best thing to do is just keep it hidden away. A kid's not going to eat the gummy if they can't get up on the top shelf or the back of the closet and get it. So you really have to be careful, because cannabis poisoning or taking too much cannabis is not a joke. It can cause some health problems. Now, you can't die from taking cannabis, but if you take too much, it can make you feel quite uncomfortable. And I can't even imagine if you're a little kid and then you eat something like that. So really, really be careful out there with your kids. And so Washington State, instead of doing any kind of education with people, they're just saying, nope, we're just getting rid of it. So we'll see how, I'll keep you posted on this, see where it goes. Now, since Washington State is such a great protector of the people of the state of Washington, of course, they are out there and they have a great working system to trace all the cannabis of where it has gone and where it is going. As you know, part of the deal with the federal government for them to keep their hands off of the cannabis systems in the states, they wrote something called the Cole Memo. And it basically said, we will leave you alone, but there's a couple things you have to do. One of them is keep them out of the hands of kids, which apparently we're failing at that. Just listen to the last story. The other one is keep cannabis from crossing state lines. I don't know about that. And another one is you have to trace. So to do those functions, they came up with these traceability systems. And so that's our next story about Washington State's traceability system. And guess what? We haven't had a working one in a year. You heard me. Washington State's traceability system has not been working properly for a year. You can go check me out. Check out a story I wrote on Ganjapreneurs talking about Washington State's impending traceability Armageddon. And it really did. They had a couple vendors before BioTrack THC. And it's really complicated to get all into what happened. But basically, they had a falling out with BioTrack THC. They brought in these other people last summer. I believe I probably talked about this on the show. That fell through. Then they brought in some other people. These people called named MJ Freeway, who, by the way, are going through a billion-dollar merger right now with somebody else. But for some reason, for an entire year, have not been able to get this thing implemented. They said, okay, we'll have it first by January 1st. Didn't work. Okay, we'll have it by April, March, whatever it was. Nope, didn't work. Okay, we had it. We'll do this. Nope, didn't work. It's gotten so bad, they actually brought in a fourth party to look at their third party people trying to implement this system, and they still can't get it done. Over the summer, this third party, or this fourth party, they were releasing, they kind of played like they got everything back on track, and they were like, okay, we had this. We're going to start implementing these patches to get all this done. And so they started sending out these newsletters, and they were saying, okay, we got this patch one done, got patch two done. Well, here comes patch three done to do patch three, and guess what? Didn't work. It's not working. They tried to do it, and they're saying, okay, patch three. And they came out with a something yesterday, an email, and just basically said, we failed. MJ, they finally are starting to say, okay, MJ Freeway is failing us. They hopefully are going to penalize MJ Freeway and get some of their money back from this contract, because I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it is in the millions of dollars we were paying these people to do this database, and the thing is not working. There has been diversion in Washington State out of these I-502 systems, and there's proof of that because in our It's a Bust segment, we're going to talk about one such business here in Tacoma. But, you know, you hear it through the grapevine, you see things on Facebook, you see things here and there, and certainly down in Oregon, there's been a big problem with diversion. So this is a big problem for Washington State, and for me, it's just a big problem with me paying taxes and then them just throwing it down the drain to MJ Freeway. And they're doing things like we were just talking about the previous story before. They are holding gummy makers accountable for something they have nothing to do with, but then they're just going to let MJ Freeway continually to mess this up. So this is an ongoing story. It is just something that just keeps going and going and going. I've been covering it for Ganjapreneurs, and I'm hoping that sometime that we can get a database fixed for Washington State that will actually trace our cannabis from seed to sale. I mean, it was so bad last year, they were turning in Excel spreadsheets all the way up through, like, Glass Bay. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you're growing, like, 20,000 plants, and you want me to turn it in instead of a barcode thing? I have to write them all down and turn in all the numbers on a spreadsheet? Okay, talk about, you know, really tough things to get through as far as being a business owner. But, yeah, so that's what's going on in Washington State traceability. So there's a lot more going on in cannabis, and we'll be going over all these stories as we go forward. Again, my name is Lucas Barfield, and this is 101.9 Radio Tacoma, and this is the Cannabis Corner, a show where we try to get out the latest information on the topic of cannabis. I am a medical cannabis activist and a home grow activist here in the state of Washington. I am a director of a nonprofit called Advocates for Medical Cannabis. And really thankful that Radio Tacoma has let me get on the air and do this show. So Check out Radio Tacoma 101.9. We just got through with a fall fundraiser, so go over to our radio, our website, radiotacoma.org, and give us a donation if you'd like to, and we'll get more shows out on the air like this. And if you want to do a show, this is so cool that Radio Tacoma has this, and I really think people should take more advantage of this. 101.9, if you have something that you are passionate about and you want to talk about it on the air, Radio Tacoma will help you get your show together, and they will come and meet with you or get you to a training sessions that you could actually record a show like this in your living room, at your house. All you need is a laptop, a passion, and a little bit of technological know-how, and you can be on the air sharing with the world something you're passionate about, whatever it is. If you listen to our station, we have a very wide, diverse group of shows, and they call it public access for radio. So hats off going to the Radio Tacoma people. Send them over a donation, and by all means, come and join us and get a show. And check out my Thomas Paine show also out there on the air, too. I heard that the other day, so thank them for playing that, too. So we're going to get into our topic of the day, and this is something we're going to be doing for the foreseeable future on our shows. We're going to be talking about cannabis laws around the world. This one we're going to do today is not really that far around the world. It is in Canada, and I don't know if you've heard, Canada actually just legalized cannabis or marijuana for recreational use, or as I like to call it, adult use. So that's everyone over 21 can use cannabis. You don't have to go in and get a medical card. You don't have to have a qualifying condition. You don't have to be sick. You can just be over 21, show your ID, and get medical cannabis. And they are the only second, believe it or not, out of all the countries in the world, and there's a lot of them, far more than I ever think. I'm always like, did they add another country? Sheesh, like over, you know, who knows how many there are. But there's lots and lots of countries out there. There are only two in the whole world that have legal marijuana or legal cannabis over 21 or just any kind of law that says you can consume cannabis without getting thrown in jail. Two out of all the entire world. Wow. Talk about reefer madness. So they were one of the early adopters of medical cannabis back in the early 90s, and it's just been like that since then. And, you know, people probably heard of BC Bud. You know, cannabis, Canada has always been famous for cannabis. And I think there was a couple of movies. It was always in the movies. The Canadians always had the good cannabis. So it's sort of been out there in society and the culture, the ethos about Canada and cannabis and how they were more cannabis-friendly than the United States. So it kind of seemed like this was bound to happen anyway. And they finally got it. Well, they passed it last year, and they said they were going to have it rolled out in July. Didn't quite work out. So last month, October 17th, it finally went on board. And it's kind of like the United States. You know, Canada is like the United States. They have a federal government, so they have all these little states underneath it, or provinces, as they call them in Canada. And they all have their own laws. And so all over Canada, they're all different. And this could lead to some problems, but it's kind of cool because there's a whole bunch of different little things going on. They have some provinces that are like Manitoba, I believe, and Ottawa, that are all, they like a private-public partnership kind of blending of cannabis businesses. They have things like in BC, which I'm pretty sure are all private corporations are running the cannabis industry. Over on the east side of Canada, I think it's New Brunswick or Nova Scotia. Their cannabis is actually being run through the state, kind of similar to Washington. You know, our cannabis is run through this by private corporations, but it's actually run through the state. So that's like in Canada has some similar setups like that over on the east side of the country. So it's a whole big smorgasbord of different cannabis laws there in Canada. They have home grows. And some of the provinces have home grows. Some of them don't. One of the interesting developments is you can't take cannabis across the border. Like in states like Michigan, that border Canada and states like Washington that do have legal marijuana or legal cannabis, you can't cross it, take it across the border. So it really makes no sense, but what can you do? It's the United States. Nothing seems to make sense when it comes to marijuana law or cannabis law in this country. Also, there was rumors that they were trying to make it where if you owned a cannabis business in Canada, you couldn't even come to the United States. So I don't know where that, how that's going along. But Canada is one of the only countries they do have. They opened up their market to world investment from around the world. The Canada market is expected to be the largest in the world because they are allowing this foreign investment, and Canada is actually allowing exports of cannabis, like Australia and Switzerland. So these countries are really getting on board of exporting. In Colombia, watch out. If recreational cannabis goes worldwide, Colombia, of course, is going to be one of the big leaders because they allow exporting of any kind of cannabis. So this is really going to get big in Canada. And it's just kind of really, it's just leaving us behind. And so the United States really needs to get onto this. We don't need to let the world leave us behind in this topic. Especially when, if you think about it, the United States has been one of the leaders. Now, it's underground and everything has been, had to be in the basement and undercover, or you'll get thrown in jail. But actually, the United States has been one of the leaders in cannabis and genetics and the whole movement. A lot of it started here in Washington State and on the West Coast of the United States. But yet, we are getting left behind. And Canada is just the latest example of this. And so, hats off to cannabis. I mean, Canada cannabis. They are doing it right up there. And there's just one more little thing to pile onto this. Actually, there's been reports that in Colorado and other legal states, they're having a problem because all their best talent is leaving, going to Canada. So there's a couple good things about that. It shows that the job market is hot, but it's going to open up some job opportunities here in the United States too. So hats off to cannabis getting this done, and hopefully the United States can get some sensible cannabis regulations in the coming years. So we're going to finish up the show with our segment called It's a Bust. And this one involves a company here in Tacoma called the Tacoma Cannabinoid Company. And they actually were arrested. It's about 4 months ago, they had a raid, and they had over 2,000 pounds of plants or finished flower. They had over 1,500 plants. They had over 3,000 pre-rolls, all off the traceability system. So they were not being traced. They were all that was just sitting there, ready to go, a lot of it just ready to go out the door, and they were selling it on the black market out the door. They had a tip. Or the LCB came through, did inspect, and they were arrested. And that place was shut down. Their license was revoked. So that is an example right here in the state of Washington of people still getting busted for cannabis. I actually sent the Liquor Control Board an email and said, hey, could we get all that cannabis donated to medical cannabis patients here in the state? And the answer was, of course, no. So there still is law enforcement. We are still taking a prohibitionist approach to cannabis in Washington State. This is an example of it. Now, were those people out of compliance? Yes. Did they deserve to be shut down? Yes. But taking all that cannabis and destroying it and not actually trying to do something good with it is still being a prohibitionist, is still treating it like it's like the old days where people were getting raided and thrown in prison. I need to look up and see actually the jail term or what's going to happen to these folks. But we still have work to do when it comes to cannabis in our culture. So thanks for tuning in. My name is Lucas Barfield. This is the Cannabis Corner. If you want to follow what I'm doing with cannabis, you can check me out. Just type in at MJ is Medicine on Facebook, Advocates for Medical Cannabis. And have a good day. Bye-bye.